changed has been the language. You know, the language has been changed to confuse the gullible, so to speak.
Well, they still teach Howard Zinn as the history course throughout America and the university campuses, and that's disgraceful. That's complete communism. That's Marx 101.
Well, we're out of time here. How are people going to exploits as we proceed down this path?
Well, John, I think that if they take a look at articles I'm writing on humaneventsonline.com and worldnetdaily.com, search the links that we've got in those articles, and then the book with Jim Gilchrist, Minuteman, The Battle to Secure America's Borders, it's on Amazon right now in pre-orders. You know, search my name, C-O-R-S-I, you'll see it. And it'll be out of the bookstores in July. And I think those are the efforts we're going to take to get this story to the world.
All right, and you and I should tag together here on the program every so often. I don't like to burden my guests too much because I know you're trying to cover a wide base and write materials, but we really need to do that from time to time. This thing, when I first saw this pop up out of the SPP meeting, the meeting that happened in Waco, Texas, you thought, well, here's another agenda. I've just been astounded at the speed with which it is moving along this time.
I have, and you know, there have been people, Phyllis Schlafly has been writing about it.
Right.
There's various of us who have been making sure America hears this theme and looks and opens their eyes and looks. And John, it's always an honor to be with you. I'll be happy to be on your program anytime.
This is an original recording made in 1890, the United States Marine Band being conducted by John Philip Sousa. It's amazing what a difference 100 years makes in technology.
Dr. Stan here, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, we're hoping, against hope, we're going to be able to get Dr. Lorraine Day on the program this evening. But, of course, if not, why, we'll just have open lines and welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. So, until we can get Lorraine on or we can, somebody calls in, we will go ahead and let me just give you a little of the background of some of the things that we did yesterday. As you know, I was off doing a picnic back in Johnstown, Colorado, and we had an early morning breakfast, and there were supposed to be about 30 people there. There were probably close to 100 people with standing room open, only at least 75 people. The room was packed out, and then, of course, the afternoon picnic, they thought about 350. They said they'd never had as many people as they had there. So I was certainly very, very pleased the way things went. But we really started out the morning telling a story, and basically it's based upon something that Colonel Nasser, who ruled Europe from about who ruled Egypt from about 1953 to 1971, wrote in a letter to President Kennedy, and this is what he said. He said, "The genius of you Americans is you never make simple, stupid mistakes. You always make complex, stupid mistakes, so that those of us who are looking on always have a feeling that maybe we're missing something. You never make simple, stupid mistakes. You always make complicated, stupid mistakes, so that we always feel that we may be missing something." And that's really what it's all about. People think that our government makes stupid mistakes, but we really don't. So much of what's happening doesn't make sense unless you know the secret. And the secret is that our government, since, well, the time of the Second World War, has been controlled by a group of internationalists. They worked through the Council on Foreign Relations, and some years later, in 1954, the Bilderbergers, and then the Trilateral Commission organized in 1973, and the Club of Rome, and these people of great wealth and great power who honestly believe that they know what's best for the world, and their dedication is to creating a one-world government and a new world religion. And so many people talk about the idea of a one-world government, but they don't associate that with a new religion, which, of course, is what really energizes this entire movement. Because there really are powerful spiritual forces at work behind the scenes, dedicated to transforming the world in which we live. From a nation where men can be free to a nation where everyone will be enslaved, at least those who survive the coming period of turmoil and chaos that's coming. And I really believe there is, and I believe our special guest this evening believes we're in for some very difficult times. Dr. Lorraine Day was a professor of orthopedic surgery at the University of California in the years after I was there. She was chief of orthopedics at the San Francisco General Hospital, a much sought after job, but well, I'm going to let her tell a little bit more. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest, Dr. Lorraine Day, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Lorraine, how are you this evening? Lorraine, how are you tonight?
There we go. I'm just fine.
Okay, very good. Well, we were going to, of course, this evening explore a little bit more about this whole concept of genetically created diseases. We know that they've been working on these in the past to create new and lethal diseases that would do tremendous damage to human beings, or would either cripple them with chronic disease or certainly would be lethal. And, of course, why would anybody want to do something like that? And then, of course, we have many people who look at these stories that we get day after day after day after day about the danger of avian flu. And some people honestly believe that we face a real threat from the possible mutation of this disease, which, as far as I can figure, has been around since about 1959 that we know of. But somehow it's going to mutate, and they're sure it's not a matter of if, but when. And it almost feels like they're trying to scare us to death. Do you have that feeling?
Oh, well, of course. That's exactly what they're trying to do. Terror is the name of the game. And one reason you and I are here is to tell people they should not be terrorized by this and not fall for their line, which is, of course, trying to get everyone to take vaccinations. They have a lot more fear from the vaccinations than they do from bird flu or SARS or smallpox or anything else.
Well, of course, one of the things one of my friends had sent me today, a copy of an article that was published, I think it was the 24th of March or May of last year, and it was UP released, and you'd mentioned it was in the Wall Street Journal. I saw the UP release, but yeah. Somehow they're actually trying to modify the this virus to make it more lethal. Well, why would anybody want to do that?
Well, that's right. First of all, remember, for years they've kept the smallpox virus around when they could have eliminated it completely. And you have to say, why would they want to do that? And why would they want to send it to so many labs where it could get loose? Then they say, oh, well, if it ever comes back again, we want to have the vaccine ready. And then, of course, for a long time, we heard lots of information about the AIDS virus. being half sheep Medivisna virus and half bovine virus. And if you put the two together and grow them in human cells, you can make a virus that humans are susceptible to. Now they're doing the same thing with the avian flu virus.
Hold that thought for just a minute. We're going to be back in just a moment. Right. But I think people have to understand AIDS before they can understand exactly what's going on today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Dr. Lorraine Day. And we're going to be talking really about the influenza, the avian influenza. But Lorraine was simply commenting that, you know, ordinarily diseases will not go from animals to human beings. Certain ones will, but most of them won't. And the animals have a lot of diseases that we can't catch. And we have a lot of diseases that animals can't catch. But in the laboratory, they can take the animal virus and grow it in human cells so that now the animal viruses would affect human beings. And logical people would say, why would anybody want to convert animal viruses that can be have terrible effects in human beings? Why would they want to make it so it would infect human beings? And yet, of course, we know that they've been working on that for years as far as the preparatory to the AIDS infection and probably some of the other horrible diseases we've had. And now, of course, we're hearing, and actually Dr. Day had pointed out an article that was published last year and circulated, but only so very, very briefly, although we do have copies and would be glad to send at least the UP article to anybody who'd like to actually see this. They've actually been experimenting and changing the genetic structure of the H5N1 virus, the avian flu virus, so to make it more lethal. Doesn't make sense.
Well, it does make sense. If it only doesn't make sense to a person if they're thinking in terms of a regular human being. But when you have the stakes as high as the control of the world, you have to realize that there are very evil people who want to destroy most of the population. And most Christians or people who've been raised in a Christian society do not even know how to understand that kind of evil. But you're going to have to understand it sooner or later. Your government does not want you to live. They want you to die, and they want you to die expensively. And that's one reason we have chemotherapy and radiation. People die slowly, horribly, and very expensively. When people smoke, they die horribly and very expensively, because they generally get lung cancer and then they have chemotherapy and radiation. There are forces out there that want you dead, and they want me dead, and especially want Stan and me to be gone here. But if you want to see, now I just I'm sitting in front of my computer here, and I just clicked on the article. It'll be up again tomorrow because I save these articles, but that article has been taken down now, about the one, off of the internet that, about the growing of the avian flu virus in human cells.
In fact, so, I tried to access it, and, yeah, and I couldn't.
And I always keep these articles when I put them up there so then I can scan it and put it back up there. But indeed, if you go to my website, by tomorrow I will have it back up there at my website, goodnewsaboutgod.com, and then just go to the article that is entitled in the political current events area, U.S. Creates Bird Flu Mutation. This is a plan of population control and destruction of most of the population by disease. Now, they're doing it in many other ways, of course, depleted uranium for our troops in Iraq and various other places, vaccinations for our troops. They're destroying our military because they plan to take over this country, and they want our military to be very weak. And then, of course, bird flu, when people are afraid of it, they will be willing to take vaccinations for the bird flu, and it's the vaccinations that will make them sick and kill many, probably millions of people.
And, of course, there's a great deal of evidence to show that, you know, it was the vaccinations during the first Gulf War that led to the Gulf War illness, and the government keeps denying it existed, and yet we've even got government reports put out by the Veterans Administration that says, yes, this is a really a very real illness, and at least in the groups that they talk about, close to 50% of the veterans of the first Gulf War had at least three or four of the classic symptoms of this entirely new disease. It seems to be a primarily autoimmune sort of disease, although it could be related to a chronic infection. And so many of the young men who went off to fight bravely in the first Gulf War, men and women, have come back and been permanently incapacitated and in proportionate number, a large proportion, way out of what you would expect for young, healthy people have already died. Veterans of the first Gulf War, would they anybody really be that evil? And if they were, wouldn't we hear about it? And I'd like to see, well, what do you think about the Gulf War illness that we talk about?
Well, of course, I believe that it's a combination of vaccinations and depleted uranium. And the same thing with what's going on in Iraq now. Depleted uranium is being used in the ammunition, the warheads that are being used over there, and it's destroying the Iraqis as well as the American military. And you might say, why would America want to destroy its own military? Well, first of all, America has been taken over by an alien force. We have had our government infiltrated. It's been taken over. And the people who are running America are against Americans. They're part of this one world government that is a secret society, the Skull and Bones and Freemasonry. Again, on my website, goodnewsaboutgod.com, you will see all of these different secret societies exposed and to see what part they play in this whole thing. There may be Freemasons listening, and you may think if you're in the first 32 degrees and many are in the first 3 degrees, think that this is a Christian organization and you worship God, but it's only at the 33rd degree you find out that you're actually worshiping Lucifer, who is Satan. My grandfather was a 33rd degree Mason until he became a Christian, and he said you cannot be a 33rd degree Mason and be a Christian, and so he quit the Masons.
Well, the difficulty is with so many people who in Masonry who really do find out what this is all about, they're afraid to come forward. They may quit, on their own, but most of them are not going to get on radio and tell you what they really were into because, of course, they really fear for their lives, those terrible oaths that they've sworn.
Well, any Christian, even in the first 3 degrees, if they will swear oaths that we know what they are, they have to start thinking, this cannot be a Christian organization. The Bible tells us not to swear oaths like that, and the Bible essentially tells us not to be a member of a secret society.
Amen.
Jesus said that he worked in the light. He still works in the light, and the evil people work in the dark, so secrecy is not of the Lord.
Well, I think for our skeptics out there who said these things really couldn't be going on, we have a four-tape set. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians. It's an interview with a gentleman named Dr. Dennegan, who back in 1969 heard a talk given by Richard Day, Dr. Richard Day, the medical director of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Richard Day, this was in 1969, talking to a group of physicians in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, said, turn off your tape recorders, don't take notes, and I'm going to tell you what's going on. I work with a group called The Order, and there are too many people in the world. We're going to create new diseases. We're going to withhold effective treatments for cancer. There are effective treatments, and we're going to lock them away in the basement of the Rockefeller Foundation. And then he talked about how they were going to get abortion legalized, and that happened in 73. How they were going to make Japanese cars so much better than American cars, we would begin shifting the industrial capacity, away from American producers to Oriental, to Japanese producers, and on down the line. And of course, you know, it's an incredible story. And of course, do we know that's true? Well, we do know that 2 months later, Dr. Donald MacArthur, testifying before the House Appropriations Committee, asked for $10 million to create an entirely new disease for which there'd be no immune response. He wanted $10 million. It would take 10 years. Some people thought it would be a new means of mass murder, but mass killing, but he wanted the money anyway. And we have that testimony. And, of course, then, of course, the following year, 1970, Zygmunt Brzezinski wrote a book called Between Two Ages. And at the footnote on one of the bottom of one of those, he talked about how in the future, going to be able to create chronic diseases to disabled people and storms and droughts. And we know very shortly thereafter that they were beginning to sign treaties with the Russians, promising that we would neither side would invade, would be involved in weather modification. Why would you sign a treaty? You wouldn't be involved in it if you didn't know how to do it. And there's so many things that have happened in the intervening years, aren't there, Lorraine?
Well, that's right. The good news is, though, you don't have to get chronic diseases. You don't have to get them. There is a way to be well. And I am well, even though I had severe cancer that was diagnosed as terminal. I am well. Cancer can be reversed by natural methods. I had no chemotherapy, no radiation, no surgery. I am well. I don't worry about getting cancer or these other chronic diseases. If you live right, you eat right, you learn how to handle your stress properly, you don't have to get sick. I don't worry about all these disease supposed epidemics coming around, because it's not the germ that we have to worry about. It is our immune system, and if we keep our immune system in proper working order by the way we eat, live, and handle stress in the proper way, we don't have to worry about getting sick.
I'm sure that's true, and I know that many, many people have followed your suggestions and have had almost miraculous recovery from the chronic diseases that they had.
Well, you know, people are, their hearts are going to be failing them for fear. The Bible says so. And now they're going to start a lot of information about water reserves, and that people aren't going to have enough water and they're not going to have enough food. People have to learn that these terrible things are coming upon us, and they're going to have to learn how to handle them. The only real way to handle them is to give them to the Lord and trust that He will take care of us.
Amen to that. Well, I think we're moving very, very into difficult times, but one only has to read Revelation 6:8. And of course, you remember this is when the rider of the pale horse appeared, and death followed close behind, and power was given unto them to kill a quarter of the world's population by war and by hunger and by pestilence. And
right.
Could these things really be happening? We'll be talking about that in just a moment. Well, our guest is Dr. Lorraine Day. Lorraine, just go ahead, pick up on that, or any thoughts you'd like to have, because it'd be, we'll want to get back to, of course, what's happening with the avian influenza. But if you'd like to comment on what I just said, why, pick up there.
Right. Well, you know, in Revelation 6:8, and in that area, it talks about the seven seals, but then further on in Revelation, it talks about the seven trumpets. In the seven seals, a fourth of the earth will be destroyed with famine and the sword and disease. And then in the trumpets, which follows later on, it's a third of the earth. And then by the time the plagues come, it's the whole earth. So these things are all progressive. And who knows whether we're in the seals or the trumpets right now, because it could easily be a third of the earth that's involved with disease and the sword, war, and all of these blood-shedding things, as well as pestilence, as disease, and as well as famine. So we're at least in the field. And then for anybody who wants to know more about this, again, I have on my website a Good News About God. I'm putting up Revelation. I've got it all up there about the seals and the interpretation of that, as well as the trumpets, and the whole, all of Revelation within a couple of weeks will be up there. That's actually how I started to find out information about this. I started going back to the book of Revelation because I was not a Christian for most of my adult life. I was raised a Christian, and then, as I've said many times, when I became a doctor, I got too smart for God and I didn't need any of that. But when I started understanding, when I got involved in speaking out on the AIDS epidemic, I realized that we are in the end times now. Things are happening very rapidly. People have no idea how bad it's going to get. They need to wake up and understand that the only place that you can run to is to the Lord. There's going to be no place, I've been around the world, there's no place to go except to the Lord, because it's going to get that bad.
Well, I certainly concur with you. In fact, looking back on my years in medical practice, you know, most doctors are not Christians. They might be nominally, they might go to church, but it wasn't really a real thing with them.
Right.
And in fact, the community I practiced, there were really very, very few Christians at all, until some major crisis came along in their life. Maybe they had a divorce, or they lost a child, or maybe their ability to practice medicine was threatened because of some unfortunate incident. And at that time in their life, when there was a crisis, that's when people, those doctors, began looking for the Lord. And I really look at the society as a whole today, and most people don't believe that they need the Lord. They're just, as Dr. Day had said, they were just too smart. They're too smart to need God. But I believe that time is coming, and it may very well be the best thing that could happen, when suddenly we lose our affluence, we lose all the wonderful things we have, and we see increasing death and pestilence around us. And as Dr. Day said, the only thing we can do is turn to the Lord. And I really think that perhaps the Lord lets these things happen. We ask, why does the Lord let things happen? Maybe it's to get our attention.
Well, that's true. We have to have a time of trouble. The Bible says we'll have a time of trouble like there never has been from the beginning. And there will be a time of trouble. And many people will turn to the Lord. Some still will not. There are many people who get sick with cancer and do not turn to the Lord. They turn to man, doctors.
Hold that thought right there, Lorraine. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Dr. Lorraine Day, and we're simply talking about the fact that when times get bad, why people turn to the Lord. Somebody asked, well, where was God when they had that great tsunami on the day after Christmas in 2004? Well, God was there, but of course, most people in the world are rejecting God. And then, of course, when something bad happens, they say, well, why did God let it happen? But of course, these are the very people who ordinarily have rejected him all along. They just want another excuse for continuing to reject him. And well, one of these days is going to get their attention one way or another.
The only way people can be protected is if they actually acknowledge God and let him protect them. Even people, now this may be a controversial thing on this show, but people who believe in self-defense, as soon as you pick up a gun to protect yourself, now I'm not for gun control. I believe that everybody has the right to have a gun in America, according to our laws, and I do not believe the government has the right to take those away. However, I choose not to have one because I adhere to a power that is higher than the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And as soon as I might take a gun in my hand to defend myself, I am then out from under the protection of the Lord. And I would much rather be in the protection of the Lord. And if he chooses to save me, fine. If he chooses not to, fine. Just like the three young men in the fiery furnace. They said, we will not bow down. Our God can protect us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. I will not take another person's life or put myself in the position where I might, because then I also remove from God the ability to miraculously save me as he did from cancer. If I had taken things into my own hands and not relied on God, I would be dead now.
Well, I think that there's a great deal of wisdom in what you say, Lorraine. It takes an awful lot of faith not to to put yourself totally in God's hands. But I really honestly believe that, you know, in the coming months or years, we're going to see things unfolding where we're really going to have to make that final decision that we can't do it on our own.
Well, God is in the business of building faith in us, and he brings trials and tribulations and temptations to us, and partly to let us know whether we're ready or not to withstand those. And if we fail, I think that one reason I went through that difficult time and almost died was God was saying to me, do you trust me to get you well? And then he tests us in each area of our life. Do you trust me to take care of you financially? Do you trust me to take care of your family? Do you trust me that I will give you food and water when there is none. And so God will test us in every area of our life, and if we fail the test, we're in big trouble.
Amen to that. Well, I think that God does strange things, the things we really will never really understand. But I always like to console myself with the fact that between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference. And we may have a plan, we may have things all figured out, but in the final analysis, none of the plans that we've made may very well get us through. So our job is to do our best that we can. And then the ultimate, hopefully, that we and the people who listen to our programs will learn how to rely upon God. Well, we started out talking this evening about the avian flu epidemic. And, of course, there's a tremendous amount of organized propaganda out there to frighten us to death. And I think Dr. Day is absolutely right. I think that they want us to be frightened, so when they come up with a vaccine, we will take that. Do you know a better way to contaminate the whole world than to, of course, to get them to all roll up their sleeves and at the same time take vaccinations? And people say they would never put anything in a vaccine that would be harmful. How would you respond when people said something like that, Lorraine?
Well, they've already put many, many things in vaccines that are harmful. As we've discussed before, I'm sure your audience is aware that there was virtually no autism until vaccinations. There was very little, if any, sudden infant death syndrome. Those two are mainly caused by vaccinations, and these are terrible tragedies with these young people, either babies dying or very small children becoming autistic. There's mercury in vaccines. There is formaldehyde. There are all sorts of other things that are very, very dangerous and cause these conditions in children.
And of course, the thing is that they know this. This is the tragic situation, and they've even taken the thimerosal, the mercury, out of childhood vaccines. And now they're recommending that every pregnant woman, even in the first trimester of a pregnancy, takes an influenza shot. And what's wrong with the influenza shot? It's got mercury in it, and it will concentrate it in the brain of her unborn child and create autism and all sorts of other neurodevelopmental abnormalities. Why would they recommend that when they acknowledge that thimerosal is dangerous? And I would have to ask you the same question. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening, Dr. Lorraine Day, and we were just asking, would anybody put anything dangerous in vaccines? Well, we know, for instance, the original polio vaccine, the Cutter vaccine, had live polio virus, and they knew it had live polio virus, and they gave it anyway. And, of course, a lot more people would have died. I've forgotten how many did die, but I think there were about 200 people who came down with polio or gave it to people who got the polio, and 11 of them or so died. But they knew that, and if anybody who doubts that, there's a wonderful book put out by the National Institute of Health called The Health Century, written by Dr. Edward Shorter. Right, he's a PhD, but he tells the whole story. They knew the virus, live poliovirus, created paralysis in monkeys, was in the Cutter vaccine, and they allowed it to be given. And then, of course, the next thing was, of course, they found out that it was a cancer virus in that polio vaccine. And they've been lying about that ever since then, and many times it's even passed from generation to generation. It's called SV40, and I'm sure you've got into that as well, haven't you, Lorraine?
Oh, yes, SV40 is a simian virus, 40, and there seems to be an association with AIDS and that virus. But what we have to concentrate on is that the people who are in charge are liars. Pure and simple, they are liars. And there is a huge plan. It is a conspiracy. For those of you who don't think conspiracies are going on, all you have to do is look at the place where you work. Somebody wants your job. Somebody wants your office. Somebody wants something. They'll work behind your back to get it. When you have stakes as big as the control of the entire world, the whole conspiracy gets much more vicious. Why do they want to kill us? Because they want the world for themselves. And they, who are they? The Illuminati, the New World Order gurus, the international bankers. These are the people who are in charge. The Rothschilds are probably at the top. If you'll notice, we used to call it Great Britain. Now we call it the UK, the United Kingdom. Where do you think that came from? United Kingdom. Well, I have a map, and it's on one of the articles on my website, A Good News About God, showing how they have carved up the whole world into 10, and they call them kingdoms. Well, the kingdom that's being put together right now is Canada, the United States, and Mexico. I have an article there on the merger of those three countries. Actually, all of the treaties have been signed already.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with... Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. Lorraine Day, and we're talking about why would anybody want to put something harmful into vaccines that would hurt children or would kill large numbers of people, or as they did in the Philippines and Kenya and many other places. They put things into the vaccines that would cause women to have miscarriages or not being able to conceive. Why? Because they wanted to kill off people. That's what it's really all about. That's what China's one-child policy, which incidentally the America largely financed by financing International Planned Parenthood, which supervised the whole Chinese program. But of course, the thing is that Lorraine says, why would anybody want to do that? And I think she's absolutely right. There are people there who really want to kill off a large number of people so that they can have the world to themselves. They have a different worldview, and anybody who doubts that only has to go to Alberton, Georgia, and see the inscriptions of the Georgia Guidestones, or read what Jacques Cousteau has said, or so many of the other people who openly advocate killing off literally billions of people. These people are not hiding what they're doing. It's just that the average American has never heard of the Georgia Guidestones or the quotations from Jacques Cousteau in the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991. But anybody would like to read that, we'll be glad to send you pages from the UNESCO Courier and Jacques Cousteau. I don't think there's any better example of mind control in America. As we, of course, focus on certain terrible atrocities that are taking place. On the other hand, we totally ignore when Jacques Cousteau talks about the necessity of eliminating 365,000 people a day. Where was the outcry from the media? And, of course, it was deafening in its silence. So, certainly, Lorraine, there is a... I think that people have to understand that there are people who look at the world differently than you and I. Would that be true?
Well, that's right. The media is controlled by the same New World Order people, and so they're all in this together. The media will never tell you the truth. The only place that you'll find the truth is listening to people like Dr. Stan and going to his website, going to my website at goodnewsaboutgod.com, and learning what's really happening. But there are ways to protect yourself. As I have said many times, flies don't cause garbage. Garbage attracts flies. It's dead and dying tissue that attracts the cleanup crew. When a person is sick, they are sick not because they have caught something. They are sick because, by the way they've been eating and living, they have cells that are dying in their body. They've got infection or chronic disease, and they need to have that cleaned out. They are then susceptible to those organisms that are in the environment or on their skin. They don't have to be exposed to somebody else. And so then those organisms go in, those bacteria, viruses, and start cleaning up the mess, throw the toxins into the bloodstream. When that happens, the person develops symptoms. So then they go to the doctor. The doctor may give them a drug to stop the cleaning out process, and so they'll feel better, but they still have all the garbage in their body. Never once has a vulture attracted a dead animal. It's the dead animal that always attracts the vulture. God has a cleanup crew at every level, whether it's macroscopic, something you can see like a vulture, or even something like a crab or a lobster. Those are animals that are meant to clean up dead things in the sea. And then we have it all the way down to bacteria and viruses. As we've talked about, Stan, here, maggots are in that chain. And working at San Francisco General Hospital, I saw many patients who lived on the street who we would send out with a cast, with a window in the cast where we could open it and treat the wound from the open fracture that they had had. And sometimes they wouldn't come back for a number of months, and when they'd come back and we'd take that window off of the cast, the wound would be filled with maggots. And the wound would be so clean it would be ready for skin grafting, which normally it would be, it would take many, many weeks of dressing changes to get it that clean. The maggots don't touch healthy tissue at all. They only eat up dead and dying tissue. Well, it's the same way the bacteria and viruses do not affect healthy cells. So what we've got to do is we've got to keep ourselves healthy, and the way we do that is to drink at least a minimum of 10 glasses of water a day, eat the proper nutrition, stop the fast food, stop all of this heavy animal products, and stop the sugar, and learn how to handle the stress, and exercise, and get outdoors in the sunlight. All of these things, those are the ways that you stay healthy. And so people don't have to, what they need to do is they need to change the way they're eating and living, and not worry about all these diseases that are coming about, and don't let anybody vaccinate you.
And of course, I can remember when I went to medical school and our classes on nutrition, we had almost no training at all in nutrition. And we always sort of snickered at the people who thought that, you know, eating was so important, or that, you know, that eating the right foods after all. I mean, when you're young, well, you can eat all these sorts of things, and yeah, but you shouldn't, because you're just destroying your body when you do.
Well, that's right.
And, you know, it's really only since I've gotten out of medicine that I begin to study some of these things that I've learned so much about nutrition, and so much of the advice that has been put out, you know, by the government on nutrition has been faulty, especially on cholesterol and so many of these other things, and on the fatty things.
Well, that's right. And you know, I don't know if I told you this. Stop me if I did. I've told it on this program, but while I was at San Francisco General, while I was chief of the department, I had my MD, of course, and I started working on my PhD. And in fact, by the time I left, I was about 7/8 of the way through my PhD. And I was taking some classes for my PhD from a woman named Dr. Virginia Ernst, who was, I think she was teaching epidemiology. And she told the class that, now this was a number of years ago, she told the class that when the big push in America to stop smoking was going on, that in England they had a meeting in Parliament and they decided not to warn the population about the dangers of smoking. And they decided not to do that because they figured it out financially and found out that if all those people lived to be old, they would break the system of socialized medicine. And so they conscientiously made that decision not to warn the people about the dangers of smoking. And I said to Virginia Ernst, I said, I don't believe that. You're going to have to prove it to me. So she came, she said, come to my office after class, which I did. And she gave me the paper showing that indeed it was actually in what is their sort of congressional record. It was in their legal government documents showing that they made that conscious decision not to tell the English people because they would break the system of socialized medicine. So here you've got, it's much more vicious than that, but here's deliberate evidence that they want people to die.
And of course we can carry that over to the United States. They had this little thing that they put on the cigarette packages that said, the Surgeon General has determined that cigarettes can be hazardous to your health. Now, that was put there not to help the people or to warn them. It was to protect the tobacco companies.
That's
because
right.
Down the line, when, of course, people develop cancer or other things, emphysema, chronic bronchitis, there's so many things, even cancer of the bladder sometimes you can see related to the smoking. And they would say, look, I mean, in court, it's right there. You can read it. How can you hold us responsible? Didn't you read what was on the package?
Well,
it's really, of course, it was never the organized the public health service that did away with smoking. It was the lawyers that at least, you know, has had some influence on cutting back on the use of tobacco. And yet still so many of our people smoke because they have programs in our school that don't tell people not to smoke. It says you've got to decide for yourself, and what young person is going to be able to make an intelligent decision. And furthermore, we're allowing our tobacco companies to push their products all throughout the world, knowing full well it's killing people.
Well, that's right. But there's blame on both sides because the tobacco companies are targeting young people, but parents are not teaching their young people. Generally, children, if their parents do not smoke and their parents explain to the children the problems with smoking, most children won't smoke. But parents are doing it the same way with people going to the doctor to just do whatever the doctor tells them. People are so brainwashed, if they go to the doctor and the doctor doesn't give them a prescription or some pills, they get upset. So the blame is on both sides. Doctors are taught to give out pills and do surgery, and patients expect the doctors to do that. Doctors don't want to spend the time or don't even know how to educate people on how to eat, live, and handle stress. But on the other hand, most of the population doesn't want to learn. There are some who do, and praise the Lord for those. But there are many of them who just don't want to change the way they're doing things, and they want to just get a pill.
Yeah, I'm sure that is absolutely true today. And the tragedy is, there's a wonderful story that came out recently comparing health in the United States in men 55 to 64 and men in Great Britain 65 to 54. In other words, they were comparable groups. I think there were 3,000 or 4,000 in each group. And they both smoked about the same amount, except the British people drank a lot more. And yet they had, here in America, we had half again as much heart disease and half as many strokes and twice the cancer and twice the diabetes that they have in Great Britain. And nobody's asking why this is.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, you have to look at the statistics to see if they're valid, because so many of the studies done now, depending on who funds them, are skewed. And so it's hard to know if the study was done correctly. But the second thing is, people are saying to me things like, oh, well, my grandmother lived to be 100, and she smoked all of her life, or she ate this way or that. And I say, yes, but for your grandmother to be 100 now, she was then born in the early 1900s. When she was growing up and when she was a young adult and a teenager, there was no fast food. If people drank coffee, they drank 1 8-ounce cup, not 64 ounces like they're getting now at the fast food places. They weren't eating tons of sugar. If they ate meat, they ate small amounts because they were too poor to eat large amounts, and they ate the cow that they raised in their backyard that was not full of hormones. Things were very different, and that's one reason your grandmother lived to be 100, because none of those things that you're doing now were available when she was young.
I'm sure that, of course, the people in years past, were far healthier in many respects than people are today. But the average individual doesn't understand that. Certainly, we're living longer today than we were before. But I'm sure that's related to other things as well, don't you think?
Actually, we're not living longer.
We're really not.
No, we're not. They say that, but the statistics are skewed here again. If a person lived through their childhood diseases in the early 1900s, they had the same life expectancy as we do now. And you have to realize that the incidence of cancer and heart disease is rising dramatically. The incidence of cancer in America in 1909 was 1 out of 33. Now it's 1 out of 2. Incidence of heart disease has gone up huge climbs. So they keep saying that we're living longer, but what they're doing is skewing the results, and this is the way they're doing it. I give this illustration because at San Francisco General Hospital, many times we were overloaded with patients, and sometimes there were empty beds on the pediatric ward, and we might have some boarding patients there. So on the pediatric ward, there might be 30 children who were under the age of 12, some babies, and then we would have maybe 5 or 6 people who were the age of 60 to 80. Well, if you go with the average of the people then that are on the pediatric ward, you'll come up with something like 35. Okay? So, but that's skewing the statistics, and that's what they do. If a child died from a disease when they were 2 years old, back in the early 1900s, you lost, say, 68 years of life out of the averages you see. And so that's why it looks like we're living longer. But we're really not. And I don't know if you know this, but when they do the statistics on cancer, they'll tell you that they're really conquering cancer because less people are dying of cancer. Well, what they've learned to do, and I discussed this on my video, Cancer Doesn't Scare Me Anymore, they have eliminated the black population because the mortality rate among blacks from cancer is higher than among whites, and they've eliminated from the statistics lung cancer because the death rate is very high. So they just drop those whole groups out, and then they say, look, here, it looks better. But they don't tell you they've done that.
I sort of like the way that they come up with the rate of inflation, and they drop everything when they say, see, the inflation's so low, but they take everything out, of course, of the statistics that show it's going up. So figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure, and an awful lot of them are working for government.
That's right. They just lie. And so we're not living longer, and the people who are alive, and first of all, you know that breast cancer is affecting younger and younger women, sometimes down to 20 years old, and sometimes even women in their late teens, young girls. And so to suggest that the incidence of cancer can go up, the incidence of obesity, which has all sorts of health side effects, the incidence of heart disease, all of those are rising, and yet the life expectancy is rising, it does not make sense. They're playing with the numbers.
I think your point is very well taken. Well, shall we open it up for some callers? Would you like to do that? Our telephone number, if anybody would like to talk to Lorraine on the subject we're talking about this evening, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we really started out talking this evening about the avian flu epidemic and the fact that there is an organized, orchestrated effort to frighten everybody to death about this. And you can hardly find a week without a couple of articles appearing in the major media. Sometimes there'll be three or four a day, you know, and certainly if you go up in the internet, all sorts of stories about the threat of avian influenza. And the question, the statement is so often made, it's not a matter of if, but when this virus is going to mutate. Now, why would they be so sure this virus is going to mutate so that the disease can spread from individual to individual? It's been around, you know, for many, many years, probably several decades, a number of decades that they've known about H5N1 virus. It hasn't mutated. And certainly, why would we be so certain it's going to do that? A lot of birds can have this, and they don't get sick with it. Why should they be so convinced it's going to mutate so suddenly it can be a mass killer of human beings? It just doesn't make sense.
No, none of this makes sense. SARS never made sense. I have an article on my website about SARS, too. And SARS did not travel fast enough for these people, so they had to come up with bird flu, which is nothing but more than SARS with wings, because they wanted it to travel around from country to country. But as I mentioned last time we talked, it is not following the migration pattern of birds. So clearly, something is going on. They can have agents in these various countries infecting these flocks with various diseases. And then they can call it bird flu if they want. But as you know, the flu epidemic of 1918 was not just flu, and the swine flu was not just flu. These are other things that are being purposely put in these vaccines to make people sick.
Well, certainly the swine flu epidemic was the most ridiculous thing. Most people don't realize that there was only one case of swine flu, you know, and yet we were going to inoculate the entire population. Fortunately, I think the people were too smart for it. I don't know how many people they inoculated. I'm sure there were millions of people inoculated because one person had died. I mean, that was the most incredible story. Unfortunately, the people refused to take the vaccine, and of course, there were a number of people who got Guillain-Barré and complications. Far more people died of the vaccine than ever died of the disease.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the same kind of thing they're trying to pull off today with bird flu, and I'm suggesting to the people as you are, do not fall for it. If you go and read my article, Bird Flu Hoax, at the end of it, I've got a couple of chapters from a book by a woman doctor who was alive and took care of patients during the 1918 flu epidemic, And she points out very, very well, documented completely, that nobody got the flu in 1918 unless they had been vaccinated for it.
And, of course, I did not realize until you mentioned this, until I read that that book, at least the chapters that you have on your webpage, that they were doing vaccinations not only of the American military,
right,
but of the Allies and the German military as well.
That's right. And this is how they spread it around all over the world. They vaccinated these troops. They got sick. And then they scared the people here in America by saying, oh, the troops are going to come back. They're going to have this terrible disease. And so you've got to get vaccinated. And that's how they talk people into it. And again, people will say, well, if they force me to take a vaccination, because they're talking about forcing people to take vaccinations, if they come around to me and they say, you have to take a vaccination or you're putting everybody else at risk and we'll put you in prison and we'll give you a vaccination anyway, and I'm going to say, fine, put me in prison, because I'm not going to take a vaccination willingly. If they force it on me, the Lord, if he wishes to, can inactivate that vaccine. But if I willingly take it in order to stay out of prison, he will not inactivate it.
Well, I'm very, very concerned about that, because I really don't trust the people. I've watched them. I've seen what's happening at the Centers for Disease Control. All we need to do is look at their success rate. For instance, they'll tell you what a great job they're doing. And yet, of course, 500,000 Americans are dead of AIDS, totally unnecessarily. Another million infected. But, you know, there are 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. Is that a successful public health policy? Should we really trust the people who've orchestrated that?
Well, it's successful for them.
Just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Bill calling from Coeur d'Alene, and I'm going to ask Bill if he don't mind staying on here until we get to the break and get to the next hour. But this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and since we're going to be losing some of our listening audience, Lorraine, why don't you get your webpage out so people, at least in our listening audience up in Coeur d'Alene and Eastern Washington, will know how to get to your website and get your information.
All right, on health, my website is www.drday.com, drday.com, or if you are not on the web, 1-800-574-2437. And then there's more medical and the political and religious information on www.goodnewsaboutgod.com. And I'll tell you after the break, I have been banned, I don't know if I told you last time, from one whole server.
Really? I mean, the internet server will not put you up?
An internet server actually has blocked my website.
Oh, well, I think we're going to see...
I'm doing something right, huh?
I think we're going to see more and more of that. I've had several of my talk show hosts who I know very well. One of them was put off a major station here in California within the past month. Another was put off a shortwave stations across America within this last month. So I think we're going to see more and more efforts to keep the American people from getting the truth. But that's the first time I heard of a web server actually blocking access, although I'm not surprised in the least.
Yeah. They told the person who some supporter actually emailed me and said, I can't get through to your site, and they say they're blocking it because someone on your host server, some website, is attacking their network, attacking the network of the people who were blocking that. So I contacted them, and indeed they admitted that it was me. I said, how could I attack you? I've never heard of you until the last 2 hours. I never knew you existed. Well, I'm sure they felt they were being attacked because I am laying bare the truth. And so they agreed that they unblocked my website. But then I said, I want to know exactly why you did it. And they said, oh, the logs are too old. We can't tell. Well, they had only unblocked it while I was talking to them. So how could the logs be too old? But any time that you start telling truth, there are a lot of attempts to stifle you.
Amen to that. Well, we'll be back with Lorraine in just a few minutes after the break here, but this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to helping us as we try to get you the information you're not going to get elsewhere. Now, if you'd like to know more about population control, you'd like to have that reference to that article I refer to with Jacques Cousteau, you can go to my website at www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and we have our population control agenda monograph is there. You're welcome to pull it down. If you don't have access to it, of course, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's the population agenda monograph, population control agenda monograph. We have a great talk. It's called Planned Population Reduction. We did it for the Prophecy Club, and it's about 2.25 hours of as we go through all of the evidence and the sources where you can check and find out if it's really true, a plan to kill off billions, not millions, but billions of people here on Earth, and where you can actually get the documentation on that. And then, of course, we have a video on population control. We have a 4-tape set on population control. This information is out there. Remember that we could not be telling the truth. It could all be something that's just made up. But if it is true, don't you think that you need to know? And if you really care about your children, your grandchildren, get involved in this battle with us, then help us bring out the truth about what's going on and understand behind these wicked and evil people who are doing these things are powerful spiritual forces. And so remember our website, www.radioliberty.com, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming here from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. If you have a call in the subject we're talking about this evening, why, we'd be glad to hear from you. We have Bill calling from Coeur d'Alene. Bill, are you there?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Yes, I had a question. Insofar as the media is concerned, all I seem to see is the selling of fear. Whether it's terrorism or any number of things, it seems to have a common denominator of fear. And I was wondering if the drug companies, if there is some tie-in with the drug companies in the marketing of all of these antidepressants and things the kids are being put on, as well as anxiety, drugs, etc. Is it just an excuse to market and sell and make money on those kinds of drugs, or do you think people are actually suffering more these days from illnesses like depression and things like that?
Now, right, Lorraine, would you like to...
Yeah, well, people are suffering from more depression, but it's all from the same propaganda. First of all, when you... Depression can be caused from very simple things. It can be caused from not drinking enough water. Eating a high-protein diet can cause severe depression. Eating a lot of sugar can cause severe depression. When people eat processed sugar, they have hyperglycemia, which means their blood sugar goes up rapidly, and then it falls rapidly. When they become hypoglycemic, as it falls, because when it goes up, the body produces a huge push of insulin, and then that insulin eats up that sugar, and then it eats up more, and you become hypoglycemic. And when you are hypoglycemic, you have all of the symptoms of anxiety. You can be shaky, you can cry easily, you can be irritable, and then a person goes to their doctor and says, you know, I have all these symptoms, and the doctor says, well, you know, you have anxiety or depression, we'll put you on Prozac or Zoloft or Paxil. So the way people are eating and living, plus there's much more uncertainty. People don't have good family structures anymore, they don't have a good moral value, so they don't have stability in the face of the unstable world. The New World Order, the international bankers, want to throw the country into a state of chaos. That is the communist philosophy. And these people are all communists. The ones that you have been told in the newspapers are capitalists are actually communists. And they think that competition is a sin. That's why you're seeing these huge stores coming in, like Walmart and Sam's Club and all of these huge stores, and they're running all the small businesses out of business. So they are trying to scare people. They want people to be terrified. They want people to be terrified of their leaders, and they want people to be terrified of speaking the truth. So it's the way they're eating, living, and also all the propaganda that's coming. You're absolutely right.
And I think that it's very hard to read the papers now without being frightened. There's so many terrible things happening. Remember, they're playing games with our mind. And as Edward Bernays had said so well many years ago, we are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. Comes from his book, Propaganda, published, I think, in 1927, 1928. They've known exactly what they're doing for many years. Does that answer your question, Bill?
Yes, thank you so much.
God bless, and bye-bye, and we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Dr. Lorraine Day, and we've got Dave calling from Temecula, California. Did I pronounce that right, Dave?
Indeed you did, Doctor.
All right, fine. Well, have you called us before?
No, I think my brother may have.
All right, well, I just but go ahead. I didn't think you had, but do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, and you, if appropriate, Doctor. I've been diagnosed in October of 2005 with mesothelioma, and as a result of that had polectomy surgery on December of 2005, and radiation treatment, and currently in a chemo treatment, which is the second protocol. The first protocol proved not to be successful as a result of the PET scan. And my more specific question is: do you know of any survival results or specific results from treating meso, either from a medical standpoint or from a natural standpoint, that might prove valuable to me in my current stage?
All right, fine. Well, I think I'm going to defer that to Dr. Lorraine Day, because I will tell you that the outlook from conventional therapy is nil. Incidentally, did you ever work in asbestos? Were you ever in the asbestos industry? Because that's something you associate with asbestos.
Yeah, you know, not for a long length of time, but during my latter high school days and my college summers, I was involved specifically with some auto repair on breaks where the asbestos fibers were accumulated in the drums, and unfortunately at that time the way we dealt with that accumulation of what we thought was dust was by just taking an air hose and blowing those what turned out to be fibers in the air. And then I'd on some occasion done some roughing both asbestos tar and shingles. And
all right, well, let's get Dr. Day's thoughts. What would you say
First of all, there are no incurable diseases, Dave. There are no incurable diseases.
Hold that thought just a moment. We'll be back in just a moment here. I want to bring our stations on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Dave calling from Temecula, California. He has mesothelioma. He's already had the surgery. He's had radiation. Now, of course, nothing is helping. He's on chemotherapy. And Dave could call and said, is there anything that can be done? Certainly, he knows very well from the medical statistics that mesothelioma is almost universally fatal. So pick the story up there.
All right. How old are you, Dave?
I'm 67. Will be 68 in October. Doctor.
Now, when was the last time that you were completely healthy?
Well, I would say I had symptoms of a low grade cough. Probably
10 years ago. Were you healthy?
Pardon me.
Were you healthy 10 years ago?
Oh, very healthy.
Okay.
I was very healthy.
Okay.
Two or three years ago, I was a real advocate of exercise and diet. And
okay, I want to propose something to you.
Okay, sure. Indeed.
Ten years ago, when you were totally healthy, if I had said to you, Dave, why don't you come over to where I live, and I'm going to give you several months of chemotherapy and several months of radiation. But don't worry about it. I'll pay for it all. And you were completely healthy. Would you have gone for that?
No.
No. Why?
Well,
because it's dangerous stuff, isn't it?
Unless there could have been some kind of proof that I was suffering from.
No. Don't go farther than that.
Okay, then the answer would be no.
The answer is no, because you know it could kill you.
Yes.
Right? And make you very sick.
Yes, indeed.
Right? All right?
Yes.
So why would you let them do it to you when you're sick? If you wouldn't let them do it to you when you're well, because somehow they have propagandized all of us to believe that these things are dangerous when you're well, but they're good for you when you're sick. Chemotherapy is poison. Radiation causes cancer. Chemotherapy causes cancer. Every doctor knows that. But the only reason that people allow it to happen is because doctors don't know how to make you well. None of us, Stan and I, didn't know how to make people well from cancer either, from what we were taught in medical school. If you go to my website at www.drday.com, drday.com, you will see I had a tumor the size of a softball. Go look at that. And I am totally well and cancer-free. It's been 14 years since my tumor first appeared. I was bedridden for 6 months. At one point, I was not expected to live through the night. And you may say, oh, well, that's breast cancer. Well, people have gotten well from every kind of cancer. I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but the Bible tells us clearly in Psalms 103:3 that God forgives all our sins and he heals all our diseases. He heals all our diseases. And you may say, well, I know a lot of good Christian people who've died of cancer and other. Well, there is a promise, which is God says we'll heal all our diseases, but there's also a process. We have to do it God's way, not man's way. And that way is given to us in Deuteronomy 7:11-15. He says, if you follow my laws, and that includes his natural health laws, Those are the laws I used to get well from severe cancer, cancer that was diagnosed as terminal, cancer that had me so close that at one point I was not expected to live through the night. All right? Cancer is cancer. It doesn't matter whether it's mesothelioma, breast cancer, brain cancer, any other kind of cancer. It is all caused by the way we eat and the way we live. We give ourselves cancer and every other disease one day at a time by the way we eat and the way we live. Now, you know, if you had a child who was 6 years old and you gave that child chocolate for every single meal for 4 months, you know that that child would soon get sick, right?
Indeed.
Because they wouldn't be getting enough nutrition in their body. Well, the way the standard American diet is, we're killing ourselves by the way we're eating because we're not nourishing our bodies properly. And one of those 10 steps is getting the proper nutrition. I talk about it on my video and DVD called You Can't Improve on God. God gave us a way to eat. I started eating that way, but it's not just diet. We've got to learn to trust God. We've got to get rid of all the anger in our lives. Anger kills us. I had been through a rotten divorce and a custody battle for my children. I was angry. I had to learn to give it up. You have to forgive everybody who's ever wronged you. You have to start drinking huge amounts of water. Everybody needs a minimum of 10 glasses of water a day. People don't think that we give ourselves disease by these very simple things. I gave myself cancer. I didn't mean to do it. You may have worked with some brake pads and all that, but I can tell you this. All of us as Americans have been destroying our bodies for years and years and years by the way we've been eating and living. We put all sorts of harmful substances in our body, like coffee and alcohol and caffeinated soda and sugar and MSG and NutraSweet and animal products and all of these things kill us. In my workbook called Getting Started on Getting Well, I have 17 pages of abstracts from the finest medical journal articles, peer-reviewed medical journals, showing the association with these things that every American's doing to himself and cancer and various other diseases, including heart disease and neurological diseases and everything else. If you get those materials, you will see that you can get well. But chemotherapy and radiation both cause cancer.
Okay, does that answer your question?
Fast forwarding, because actually from my perspective, Dr. Day, I started on this journey of self-examination and constructive health over 30 years ago when I quit smoking, quit drinking, came to terms with my own fallibility and worked on not projecting my anger out, but
David, are you a vegetarian?
I had been up to the time of diagnosis to where I had completely eliminated meat, but had continued with fish and
chicken and dairy products and eggs and all that.
Not on the dairy part, but on the
sugar. No milk, no ice cream, no butter, no cottage cheese,
no
yogurt.
I'm still
eating fish and poultry.
I acknowledge that I've done that. But anyway,
Dave, if I could just suggest, that why don't you go to Dr. Day's website? And I think that you'll find that there are probably a lot of things there that you were taking in that you might not have. I think that you'll be quite fascinated. And I will tell you, I know some people who followed this and have done extremely well.
Well,
so give it a try. You've got nothing to lose right now because you've got everything to lose at the present time.
Would your recommendation be, Doctor, to terminate the chemo?
You have to make that decision. If it were me, I certainly would. But you have to get on God's health plan, and you have to do it with 100% commitment because you know that chemo and radiation, your mesothelioma was not caused by a deficiency of chemotherapy and radiation. The doctors have never told you, oh, my, you developed mesothelioma because earlier on in your life we didn't give you enough chemo and radiation. In order to reverse a disease or cure it, you've got to reverse the factors that caused it in the first place. The doctors admit to you they don't know why you got mesothelioma.
They acknowledge that it's been an exposure to asbestos.
Yeah, but that is the mantra that we're taught in medical school. You don't know that for sure. You had very small exposure to it. Mesothelioma is a relatively rare tumor. It frequently occurs in people who've already had chemotherapy and radiation, and then later on mesothelioma turns up. But the whole point is chemotherapy and radiation cause mesothelioma. But if you go to my website, you're going to have to study. It's going to be like going back to school again, because you have to understand what you've been doing to your body and how you can fix it.
Anyway, Dave, thanks very much for calling. I hope you will check with the website.
Indeed, I will.
Fascinating. Thanks so much for calling. And let's go to Bill, who's calling from Felton. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan.
I have a question for our guest.
Actually, it's a question for you.
All right.
Well, last week I heard your guest from the Arc Institute,
Jerry Guidetti.
Guidetti, yeah. And she was talking about the bird flu and saying that it was a real dangerous thing and everybody get ready.
Well, I think that we may very well have some problems, but I don't think this thing is going to spontaneously mutate on its own. It may very well that they may mutate it. But, of course, we have to understand that there really are people who want to create new diseases today.
Well, wasn't she pretty adamant about
Jerry is a very, very dedicated individual. She is very, very convinced, and she's very, very sincere.
Well, so, you know, you say people are messing with our minds.
That's right.
What do you think about the bird flu?
What do I think about it?
You have two guests saying two opposite things, and I'm kind of curious.
I really believe that. I went through a whole period of mind control and manipulation during the AIDS epidemic. I was sure that everybody was going to get AIDS, you know, because we could see how it was rapidly increasing in the homosexuals. And I immersed myself totally in this for 10 years. And, you know, and then I suddenly realized that so many of the articles that I was reading about the AIDS epidemic were designed to confuse me, to confuse us all. This is, in my estimation, is a genetically created disease, AIDS. I believe this, and I believe it has a predisposition for blacks. Over 50% of the new AIDS cases in America are in the black population. And this is why in Africa today, where they actually are doing careful testing, in Botswana, 46% of the black females coming in for prenatal testing are infected. How could you have such a poor public health policy unintentionally? And faced with a disastrous public health policy, what are they doing to change it? Absolutely nothing. They're continuing the same program.
Could I add a couple of questions for Bill?
You sure
I've
can.
Actually, I've actually read the same thing about AIDS and SARS being genetically modified also.
Right.
And I don't
just
doubt
like
that.
To ask Bill a couple of questions after the break here.
Okay, fine. Now, you hang on there, Bill, and we're going to have to just take a quick break here, and then, of course, but we'll want you to hang on. I think it's important to address this. I think there are a lot of sincere people out there who are absolutely convinced that if you go up on the Internet and you read all these articles about bird flu, I mean, you can scare yourself to death. And I think there's something to be scared of, but I'm much more concerned about the wicked and evil people out there who think that there are too many people in the world, and if they can simply get a major epidemic going, they could get everybody to be vaccinated. Could there really be something that evil? I really believe there can. And we'll talk more about that when we get back in just a moment. Okay, Bill, are you still there?
Yes.
All right, go ahead, Lorraine.
Okay. Bill, what are the symptoms of bird flu?
It's a pneumonia-like disease. It's a respiratory disease.
What are the exact symptoms that the World Health Organization, the Centers for Disease Control, and the National Institutes of Health says? Do you know what those are? I'm not trying to stump you. I just wanted to tell you. This is, if you go to my website where at goodnewsaboutgod.com and click on the political or the medical, it'll talk about the bird flu hoax. These are the symptoms of bird flu according to these three major organizations: a fever of 100.4, a sore throat, a cough, and possibly pneumonia. Now, can you name me some diseases where you have a fever of 100.4, a sore throat, and a cough?
Sure, numerous diseases.
Right, numerous diseases. How and you can have viral pneumonia along with those and still have just plain old garden variety pneumonia. You can have it from asthma. You can have it from allergies. And you don't have to have viral pneumonia in order for it to be bird flu. Now, according to them. Now, a fever of 100.4 is virtually no fever at all. 98.6 is normal. As I mentioned last time, you can get a fever of 100.4 on a hot day, without being sick. All right? So, a fever, sore throat, and a cough are the symptoms, I'm going to deputize you to go door to door in your neighborhood, people that you know, and you're going to have to decide if they have bird flu or they just have a cold. And if you decide they have bird flu, you're going to have to quarantine them. They may lose their job. They may lose a lot of livelihood from their work, even if they don't lose their job. I'm going to ask you, how are you going to tell the difference?
Well, just give them all a vaccine.
Oh, God.
I'm asking you, how are you going to know the difference between whether they have bird flu or if they have a cold? How are you going to know?
Well, the answer is, Bill, you can't tell from that.
You cannot
tell. Yeah, exactly. I agree. I know exactly what you mean.
Okay, so
I'm in total agreement with you.
If you're saying, you know, who is the one who is, I'm not suggesting that any person who Stan has had on is deliberately lying. I'm just saying that the people can be misled. When I went back and looked at all of these things and looked at it from a physician's point of view, I even put on there, I called up the Centers for Disease Control. I talked to the doctor who's head of the bird flu division, and I said, how in the world would I as a physician ever be able to tell the difference? He says, you can't.
Of course.
So I said, well, why the president's talking about pulling out the National Guard and the Army and everything, quarantining people. He says, that's all politics. It didn't come from here.
I agree. I'm not really confused on the subject.
Then you're just trying to be the devil's advocate?
Well, no, I'm just kind of curious as to why there's such
because most people are deceived
on Dr. Stan's show.
Most people are deceived.
I think he and I also are pretty much in agreement with you in that vaccinations have proven, if you've looked into them at all, they've proven to be disastrous, all the way back to Dr. Edward Teller and his maniacal beginning with vaccines. You know, I mean, I have no doubt.
But Edward Teller wasn't giving vaccines.
Teller wasn't the vaccine person. It was Pasteur way back there.
Wasn't it Dr. Edward Teller that was
he was the father of the H bomb. You'll have to listen to my. I have a wonderful interview with Dr. Teller. And it says, you know, now he's passed on to be with the Lord. But, you know, we put people on. We'll be back in just a moment here.
I don't know that Dr. Teller went to be with the Lord.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill was simply asking why we would put anybody on who believes bird flu is a real problem. I believe we have real problems. I believe we should be making preparations, you know, in case some terrible things should happen. And whether it will be a flu epidemic or whether it will be a created flu epidemic or whether it will be a shortage of food, whether it will be, they actually have the ability to make storms and droughts today. They can actually do that. And you can go back and read what Brzezinski was talking about in 1970 in his book Between Two Ages, America and the Tectonic Age. And, of course, Brzezinski works with the most powerful men in the world today. In 1970, they were saying in the future, we're going to be able to create storms and earthquakes and new diseases.
They have them right now.
And they have them right now.
They have them right now. But I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to make any preparations, and I'm going to tell you why. They have a way. I actually have a well on my property. But they have already signed executive orders that they can take your water. They can control your well. If you have food, there's going to be, and your neighbors don't, they're going to be all there with guns to take your food away, or the government will come to take your food away. They've even talked about passing laws where you can't have more than 3 days supply of food in your house. The thing is, people are going to come and take it away from you anyway. Are you going to shoot them to save your own life? I am not. We're going to have to rely on the Lord. This is the way it's going to have to go. People may think that's naive. But not if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to have to learn to rely on the Lord. That's what this is all about. That's what life is all about, learning to trust the Lord.
I believe the laws are already in the books about not being able to hoard food.
I'm sure they are, Bill. Yes. I'm sure we're in for some very difficult times. And our plea is understand that terrible things lie ahead. And hopefully for the people who don't have a relationship with the Lord, why, of course, they will turn to Him. Okay?
Who was the doctor who first vaccinated for smallpox?
Pasteur was...
Well, actually, it was Jenner. It was just...
Oh, that's right. It was Jenner, right.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. let's go to... Let's see. I think that the next caller is Dave from Corona. Let's see if this is Dave. Dave, is that you? Or is this Dave or Ed?
No, this is Ed.
Oh, Ed, do you mind hanging on? I'll get to you right after we get to Dave.
Thank you.
All right, and let's go to Dave calling from Corona, and we do have one line open, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, always nice to hear Dr. Day on your program. The question has to do with the cancer. I heard that maybe a WAP enzyme, a type of enzymes, or maybe what type of role does that have in fighting cancer, along with maybe beta-glucan or maybe aged garlic or maybe some other products that maybe you can tell us about?
Well, first of all, if it comes in a bottle, it's not of the Lord. In other words, what you need to cure cancer and every other disease has been around for 6,000 years. The name of my video that shows the plan I used to get well is You Can't Improve on God. God gave us food, God gave us water, God gave us fresh air, God gave us the ability to trust in Him. If we start taking the food apart and concentrating it up into large concentrated doses of individual things, we have made a drug out of it. And then people do that and then they sell it and they say, aha, this is better than food. It is not. And so all of these things, now enzymes are important, but they're the enzymes in raw food that you want to eat raw, fruits, vegetables, and sprouted grains. That's the way you get your enzymes, by eating the food in its natural form, not by buying it in bottles.
Okay, but we would have to maybe plant our own, because what about all the stuff we get genetically modified?
Well, maybe you would, but see, everybody who's worrying about genetically modified food and food that has pesticides on it is generally eating huge amounts of animal products.
Maybe
fast food and MSG and right. NutraSweet and all that. If people would just stop that and just eat fruits, grains, and vegetables, you try to get it organic. If you have to grow your own, fine. We should probably get back to the soil anyway and see and do it the way God wanted us to do it.
Okay, fine. Does that answer your question?
Yeah,
there?
It sure does. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay. Let's go to Ed, who's very patiently been waiting here, and Ed's up in Utica, New York. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan, and appreciate very much your work, and pray for you.
Appreciate
also,
that.
I am familiar with Dr. Lorraine Day, but I don't get to hear very much from her. Anyway, I do have a question. It seems like my brother and I have inherited a weakness in our blood vessels, and of course we're older now. I'm 77.
What do you mean old? That's the same age as I am. Go ahead.
Well, I said older.
All right, fine.
Anyway,
I want you to hang on here. We're going to have to take your question during the break here. Hang on.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Ed calling from Utica, New York, and Ed is just saying that he thinks he has some trouble with his blood vessels, both he and his brother. How old is your brother, Ed?
He's 2.5 years younger than I am.
All right, he's just a young fellow then. Well, what was your question for Dr. Day?
Well, I've had 3 aneurysm surgeries, or I should say I've had 3 aneurysms, 2 different surgeries. And I'm wondering, one was the aorta and the other were the aneurysms of the iliac artery.
All right.
And I'm wondering if there's something that I can do to strengthen the walls of the blood vessels, or if there is a problem.
All right. What are your thoughts on that?
First of all, you said that you and your brother have inherited something. It's very unlikely that you and your brother inherited. The chances that has happened is about 1%. These kinds of diseases that appear in families are passed down in families, all right, but not in the gene. We eat and live and handle stress the way our parents do, whether they teach us directly or whether we just observe the way they do it. And so just because two women in the same family have breast cancer does not mean they have inherited it. It just means they eat, live, and handle stress the same way. Now, aneurysms are generally called caused from arteriosclerosis. When the vessel wall gets thin or starts protruding or is covered with plaque and breaks down, what you need to do is to follow the same plan that I use to get well from cancer, and you can reverse all of this blood vessel disease because it's generally caused from arteriosclerosis. And that's from mainly eating too much animal fat, not drinking enough water, not exercising, not handling stress well. So these are the kinds of things you've got to reverse, and you can do it, unless you want to keep having aneurysms.
So basically, if you have access to a computer, can you get to Dr. Day's website? Ed?
I believe I could through
what,
someone
is it
else.
Well worthwhile getting that or carrying?
Go to drday.com, and I have a video called Diseases Don't Just Happen where I talk specifically about heart disease. I don't specifically discuss aneurysms because they're all wrapped in with heart disease and arteriosclerosis. And so if you just follow those steps, you have to change the way you're eating. You have to start drinking more water. You have to start exercising in a regular way. You have to start learning how to handle your stress differently. And you can reverse this disease. You don't have to keep having these because one of them is going to kill you sooner or later.
Well, I didn't really think that I was...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ed has had a series of aneurysms, and Dr. Day is suggesting that, you know, if he would simply eat right and exercise right and follow the 10 points in the program that she has, that chances are he would be a lot better and have much, much stronger blood vessels. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, you were going to tell me something about you didn't think you were something.
Ed, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What was it you said you were going to say you didn't think you were what?
Well, I've tried to do what you're saying. Of course...
If you haven't seen my videos, you don't know exactly what I'm saying because I can't tell you all the 10 steps right here because there's not enough time.
Okay.
But the thing is, you have a problem, don't you?
Yes.
There's a problem that can kill you.
My father died in 61.
Well, but the thing is that then you're following in the same pattern as your father. You can change those patterns. You can change those patterns because what you're doing now is not changing them because you're still having aneurysms.
So, Ed, I'd suggest you do check her website. I think you'll be fascinated by what she has to say, okay?
Thank you very much.
God bless. Okay. And thanks so much. And let's go to Dan, who's calling from Houston. And again, we lost Jeannie, was calling in. I don't know what happened, but... If she wants to call again, fine. Otherwise, we have Dan from Houston, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Dan, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Good. I believe vaccinations are a cause of a lot of our health problems, and I get flyers for vaccinology courses. I'm an internist all the time, and I see on the latest one that's coming up in November, two of the major parts that they were concentrated on here, as they worded here, is how best to communicate good science regarding the issues of autism to the media and how science is interpreted by the media and the public. It seems like they're spending a lot of effort on not so much the science of the vaccinations and their good and the pro and con, but on how to propagandize the public. And another section in here is trying to convince young parents to vaccinate their children and to try to avoid the resistance put up by them for special exceptions. Now, both of those things don't seem to be very good public policy to me.
Well, you know, that's the same thing they did with the AIDS epidemic. I started wondering about this. They did all these polls, and they would say, you know, people still think that AIDS can be transmitted by such and such, so we've got to tell them that it can't. And they spent all of their efforts trying to propagandize the public about how AIDS could not be transferred rather than do the research to prove anything. It was all propaganda.
Right. The other point I was going to make is that I've worked at a lot of clinics in big cities, and I worked at the CDC for a while myself. But one of the terrible things is that there are many, many poor people in this country who cannot even afford the basic of nutrition. I mean, they can barely support their families. and those people have no alternative but to pray to God and to accept, oh, God's going to help them.
Well, actually, it's cheaper to eat well. It's cheaper to eat properly than it is to eat badly. All right? It's cheaper. Those people, most of us eat too many calories. Most of us eat too much fat. And the way that the pauper's diet, if it's really just fruits, grains, and vegetables, people have to eat a lot less when they eat raw. They don't have to eat nearly as much if they're eating raw food because it fills them up much faster because it has enzymes in it. It is alive. And so I can tell you that there are all these people that may feel they're too poor to eat properly. It's cheaper to eat properly. It's the Western diet that's killing people.
And the other point I was going to make is that many of these poor people in the clinic, they're so dependent on the lifeline of this clinic and doctor, they think they do whatever the system tells them. And if they say, go get your flu shot, go take your child over and get 3 or 4 vaccinations, take this medicine, et cetera, they're so intimidated that most of them can't really apply the intellectual prowess in trying to make the right decisions for themselves.
That's not just the poor people. All three of us that are talking right now have been intimidated and propagandized by our medical training, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, thank you very much, Dan and Laura. I really appreciate it. You're doing a great job. Thanks.
Dan, what sort of work did you do?
I'm an internist. I was a medical director of a hospital. I've been at Harvard and Yale and CDC and Mayo Clinic and traveled around. Then I worked at a lot of clinics after that. And what I saw in the public clinics, I actually worked in San Francisco emergency room for about 3 months.
When were you there?
Oh, it was 1975. Special externships. I traveled over the country for a couple of years going to various institutions, but what I saw I worked at Boston City also. What I saw at a lot of the big clinics and big emergency rooms is that a lot of the poor people that come in here, some of them don't take time to educate themselves, but some of them who really want to be educated, they're so poor they can't afford even to buy a water filter or can't buy fresh vegetables.
But you're suggesting that just because people are poor, they don't know what's going on. I would challenge you that there are just as many rich people who don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah, I think there's more of them. You're right, I agree with that.
Well, our job, Dan, is to get people as much as we can. And your job is to get them to listen to our program, okay?
And you're doing a great job. Thanks for
God bless. Okay, let's go to Valerie is calling from Leesburg, Virginia. Boy, Lorraine, you've got people calling from all across the country. Hi, Valerie. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Say, Dr. Day, I was curious. I was surfing on your site, and if you were to pick out one book or one, you've got a lot of information. What would you suggest to start with if you wanted to improve one's health?
Well, if you want to improve your health and you're not sick now.
Yeah, well, aren't we all sick?
Well, the thing is, it depends that if you have cancer, if you go to frequently asked questions on my site,
right.
I show if you have cancer, you get one group of videos and books. If you have other diseases other than cancer, then you can start with Diseases Don't Just Happen.
Okay.
That DVD and the workbook called Getting Started on Getting Well. With those two, even with one video or DVD, if you really did what's on it, you could be well for the rest of your life. And you say, well, you know, would I live forever?
Mm-hmm.
No, we get old, but you don't have to die of disease. We're just supposed to wear out and lie down and die.
Well, I agree with you because I've always been very healthy and a vegetarian. And about 7 years ago, I began a different lifestyle. And now I'm taking all sorts of medication for diabetes, blood pressure, on and on and on. And I want to get
off. Diseases don't just happen.
Pardon?
That's the one you want. Diseases don't just happen. And you've obviously learned that you don't want to live the way you're living.
No, I don't. And, you know, it's interesting, the gentleman that just called previously, I'm a nurse, and I was listening to him talk about the aneurysms. And have you heard, I think John Hopkins did a research on the broken heart syndrome, mainly it was women, but it can be men and women, whose heart was enlarged after something very stressful, and they didn't have a heart attack, but it mimicked a heart attack.
You know, transient ischemic attacks instead of a stroke. You can have mild heart attacks that don't show any muscle death. you can have those things. You can have just anxiety attacks.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they actually call it, if you Google it, I saw it on TV, it just caught a clip of it, because I'm in the D.C. area here, and it was called the Broken Heart Syndrome, and they actually did some research on some women that actually had some devastating things happen, and they found that they didn't have a heart attack, but they thought, at first, you know, the doctors thought that's what had happened, and their hearts were enlarged, and all of that.
But see, that can be caused from stress.
Exactly.
And
from
stress.
Emotions, and then after they went through the emotions and got better, their heart wasn't enlarged anymore.
Right. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Valerie. That certainly can happen. Stress is a terrible, terrible thing, and it can have a devastating effect on us. Hey, well, look, thank you for calling.
Well,
do you have any question at all for our guest?
No, I wanted to order a book, and I just didn't know where to begin.
The disease that don't just happen is the DVD and the book, Getting Started on Getting Well, helps you implement the information on the DVD.
And we'll give that telephone number out to Ray.
1-800-574-2437. That's 1-800-574-2437, or go to my website at drday.com.
Okay, Valerie.
All right, thanks a lot.
God bless, and thanks very much. And certainly we know that stress and all of these things can certainly have an effect on us. And one of the callers earlier had just talked about all the fears that we have. And you pick up the newspaper today, and you go from stressful thing to stressful thing. You watch television, and whether it be the war in Iraq or the murder or the child abduction or all of these things that are going on, and you know, we are constantly subjected to stress. And I really believe a lot of this is getting us so fearful we can't think effectively, because when you're frightened, you can't think, you can't evaluate things at all. What we need to do is take a step back, get rid of our fears, and then look at life as it really is, and understanding, of course, that we have to be dependent upon God. Somebody wrote an article about the Declaration of Independence. And the basic theme was this, that what we needed was not more independence, was more dependence, and that more dependence on God. And if we had people who were dependent on God, why, you know, we would be a much better society. Well, of course, my basic theme, you know, is that we are not a Christian country because Christ rules the country. The whole idea was that we were to be a free country because the power of the central government was to be limited, because we were to be dependent upon Jesus Christ, and he was to govern us so that we could govern ourselves. But we can't govern ourselves without his leadership. We just don't want that leadership coming from Washington, D.C. And that is that declaration, perhaps, of dependence more than of independence.
Well, that's right. You know, we have to be dependent on the Lord, and the New World Order understands that God has put in us a desire to be led. And we sometimes disparagingly talk about the people of the country being sheeple. But we're all supposed to be sheep, but we're supposed to follow Jesus Christ instead of following the New World Order. But they have propagandized everyone. They have turned that desire to be led into something bad, because they're being led by people who are leading them astray rather than by Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Of course, the whole idea is that the shepherd, pardon me, the sheep follow the shepherd, but what shepherd should we be following? Should we be following the New World Order crowd, or should we be following the ultimate shepherd, who was Jesus Christ, who would lead the sheep? And so we need to be dependent upon him, but certainly never dependent upon government.
Right.
Well, our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest this evening has been Dr. Lorraine Day. And we do not know, I certainly don't know what's going to happen as far as the avian flu epidemic, other than the fact that they have invested so much time and so much patience, so much effort into creating this fear of something that, if you stop and think of it logically, you know, they've done studies on the people in China. Many people in China have antibodies to these H5N1. And but they keep telling us it's going to mutate. It's not a matter of if it's going to mutate. It's a matter of when it's going to mutate. Certainly, Dr. Osterholm, who has written articles for the Council on Foreign Relations, they had one whole issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, three articles about the danger of the bird flu and how when the bird flu comes, it's going to totally disrupt our society. The whole society is going to shut down. There's not going to be any trucks delivering anything. There's not going to be any food. There's not going to be any water. It's almost as if everybody's going to have to quarantine themselves. Obviously, they have a plan. I'm not certain what it is, but I think it'll become obvious. And I think the one thing that people have to realize is we are being manipulated. Our minds are being molded, our tastes suggested, largely by people we've never heard of. And until we can pick up an article and read it and not say what it says, but what are they trying to tell me that isn't true? At that point, we can think independently. At that point, we are free.
That's right. As I pointed out last time, you and I both learned in the AIDS epidemic, when an AIDS epidemic was actually really growing and burgeoning, not only in this country, but in other countries, particularly Africa, they kept telling us, oh, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. We don't have to do any of these drastic measures. We don't have to do it. Well, they were obviously covering up. And with mad cow disease, they are covering up. This is a terrible thing that's happening. People are killing themselves by eating all these animal products that are contaminated with mad cow while the government tells them there's no problem. So when the government starts telling you, oh, something is terrible, when your common sense tells you that it's not, you know that they have an agenda, and it's an evil one.
And, you know, the basic tragedy is that, back at the Centers for Disease Control, I'm sure there's some good people there. I know when I was back there, I met a couple of them, but I met some other people who had an entirely different agenda. And they were there not because they wanted to help people, but because by working at the Centers for Disease Control, they could do the most harm.
That's right. That's right. Yes, there are some really vicious people back there. And that even though there are some good people at the lower levels in every one of these organizations, at the top they are controlled by a very evil force.
And, of course, if you wanted to spread disease in America, where would you work? Would you work in a little clinic in Podunk? Or would you want to work at the Centers for Disease Control where you could cover up the terrible harm that is being done with vaccinations? Where you could influence public health policy on the spread of disease and prevent them from being controlled logically as they did with the AIDS epidemic? And only within this last, few months have they actually, back at the CDC, said, hey, maybe we ought to start doing routine testing of everybody who goes into the doctor's office to find out who has the disease.
I bet you got a big chuckle about that as I did when I read that. I thought, oh, man, both Stan and I and others were saying that loud and clear 20 years ago, and it's a little too late now that the cow's already out of the barn. Now they're coming up with that when they called us crazy and hysterical and everything else when we were saying that way back then.
20 years ago, yeah. When Lorraine was saying that and I was saying that, and it was just so logical. I mean, you got an epidemic, you try to find out who has the disease and
they were treating us like terrorists. Yeah, well, but here they are.
And I think that it should be so logical as we, if you're out there in the listening audience and listen to this, I mean, it would be the logical that you would have mandatory premarital testing for HIV. So what did they do? Well, rather than have mandatory premarital testing, because after all, you're going to get married, they're going to be in intimate relations. If one partner is infected, chances are they'll infect the other partner. No, their solution was, well, everybody should use condoms, and it isn't necessary to know. And to prove it wasn't necessary, they did away with premarital testing for syphilis, which they'd done for years.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the most incredible thing, as you
saw.
Well,
the thing is that you and I at that time did not understand what the agenda was.
No.
If we had understood the agenda, we would realize that they were accomplishing their agenda very, very well, which was the destruction of our society.
And, of course, this was just one of the initial nails that were put in the coffin,
right,
of the stability of our society. A half a million Americans are dead of AIDS, and, of course, another million are infected. And this is just one of a number of diseases that have been created unnecessarily. Do you still have copies of your book, Lorraine?
Yes, I do. In fact, they're on my website.
All right, fine. What's the title again?
if AIDS, what the government isn't telling you, and I've had actually everybody who gets one of your little booklets and a letter from me telling that it's up to date except for two factors and giving them the House Bill 15090 plus the
hold that stuff right there.
Congressional record.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening has been Dr. Lorraine Day. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I can't control the computer. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up this evening's program.
Well, the book AIDS, What the Government Isn't Telling You, is still just as current today as when I wrote it back in the early 1990s, except for two things. I didn't know at that time that AIDS was a man-made disease. I include the government document showing that it is. Also, I did not understand at that time that the government was planning to promote homosexuality as a normal, alternate, healthy lifestyle, quote-unquote. That's from the 1963 Congressional Record, and I include that with the book. And you will find that what's happening with many of these other diseases now, this is just a replay of what they did with AIDS. They covered it up, they didn't treat it properly, and because they wanted it to grow and to infect a lot of people. And they can't get SARS to do that very well, so they made it into bird flu, and now they can't get bird flu to infect humans very well, and so they just will scare you into getting an injection, and then they can infect you very well. So we have to learn from the past because, as has been well said, those who don't learn from the past are going to repeat the same problems.
And I think that I hope all of our listeners out there will evaluate what we've said tonight and go to Dr. Day's website and get the material and go to my website at RadioLiberty.com and pull down the Population Control Agenda monograph or buy Lorraine's book and you'll get a copy of it there. And it's as good as any. It should be updated, but there's so many things to do and only a certain number of hours in the day. But the material is as valid today as when I wrote it, only there's so much more evidence of other diseases that they have created now, and certainly there's no question in my mind that the Ebola is a man-made disease.
Sure.
As Marburg's, in fact, it was initially only found in, Marburg's disease was found in laboratory monkeys that went to a place called Marburg in Germany. And why would you find it in laboratory monkeys? And the same reason that HIV was found only in laboratory chimpanzees.
Right.
It wasn't found in chimpanzees in the wild until they released some of them in the wild, and now they're finding it in the wild. But this was in laboratory animals.
That's right. Well, if you go to Dr. Stan's website and my website at goodnewsaboutgod.com, if you go to those two websites, you will get quickly updated on what's going on in the world. I tried to make it as simple as possible. I'm adding more information all the time. You need to understand what's going on in the world, and then you will find that the only answer is not government, because all of government...
Hold that thought for just a moment here, and we'll just let you... Okay, why don't you wrap up your thought there, Lorraine?
Government, the whole idea of government is that man is not capable of ruling himself. Only God can rule the heart and do it right. And that's the only place to go. And all of this is to teach us that.
And, of course, the other thing is that the people in government, or at least the people who are on the other side, are doing everything they can to destroy Christianity, to take God and prayer and out of our schools and Christ out of Christmas. And it's really it's a conspiracy against God. It's about time God's people recognize that.
That's right, but they can't take him out of your heart.
Amen to that. God bless you. Thanks so very much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon you to, if you believe in what we're doing and would like to help us as we try to maintain the support and try to maintain our network of programs across America, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we would hope that you want to join the Radio Liberty family or subscribe to our newsletter. Or you can, of course, get a list of all the products we have at our website, which is www.radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet, on the American Freedom Network, GCNLive.com, Radio Liberty, the RBN Live. .com and of course soundwave2000.com. So we're on about 5 internet sites. We're on Telstar 5, 9 hours a day. But it all is terribly, terribly expensive. So if you believe, as I do, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. If you can't, and some people I know are having a very difficult time financially, and I fear that before long a lot of people are going to be having problems, then your job is to tell others about our program, and then, of course, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And I know that there are really, literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people who do that regularly. And I'm sure this is one reason why we're able to survive as well as we do. Now, of course, we are on shortwave 4 hours a day. We're on Internet 5 hours a day. We're on the satellite 9 hours a day. We're on some radio station 5 hours a day. And we have about almost 60 outlets every single week, radio, Internet, shortwave, where our message is being heard across the country. And people are beginning to understand that behind this whole move towards the New World Order are powerful spiritual forces. If you've not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me suggest you get it, or get the video or VHS. They all tell basically the same story. And then, of course, we put together some pamphlets called The Occult Hierarchy. If you want to know about the secret societies, we have a wonderful book written by the Librarian of Congress called Fire in the Minds of Men, written by James H. Billington, who tells you about all the secret societies behind the world revolutionary movement in Europe. Now, the book plays down the influence of the secret societies in America, although, of course, Mr. Billington knows about that because we got from his office a treatise on the Clintonian Illuminati, written in 1803. And, of course, the Clintonian Illuminati was operating in New England at that time. So the Illuminati was here. And it's the influence is still here because the Illuminati and Masonry and Rosicrucianism and Theosophy are all continuations of the ancient mystery religions. And their emblem is a triangle with a glorified eye in the middle of it. You'll see it on the back of the dollar bill. But then you'll see all sorts of occult emblems on the dollar bill. If you have a magnifying glass, they hide their emblems in plain sight. If you'd like to know what they are, why, of course, you'd certainly want to get Kathy Burns' wonderful book, Occult, I should say Masonic and Occult Emblems or Symbols, Masonic and Occult Symbols. And then, of course, we ask you to simply pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders. But please remember, as I mentioned earlier, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until next week at the same time, may the Lord be with you.